Hey, I'm glad to be back with you. It's been a big season for our family. This week, my wife and I will have been married 30 years. I'm surprised she stayed with me that long, too. I'm thankful. We're so thankful. And then my youngest got engaged this season. And so, golly, we prayed for that boy from the moment she was born, and now we know what he looks like. And that's exciting to see. And so it's just been a big season for our family. I've not preached for 4 weeks. So my wife said, hey, take it easy today because you don't want to give them all the whole load in one day. So I'll do my best today. But I'm thankful that you're here. I want to just do a little business first and just take care of some housekeeping. And on Thursday, I sent an email to every church member. And if you're visiting today, I want you to know membership matters around here, and it's important to be a member of a church, and in our church that's an emphasis we really put on people coming here. You need to be a part of us, and we invite you to join us. And there's a process that we go through, and we'd love for you to be a part of us. But one of the things that we ask our members to do is to vote on specific things. You know, we don't vote on everything around here, but there are some things that we need to vote on. And I just want to kind of remind you, in April, we began talking about just a new strategy to tackle our third phase of our projects around here, and we had a Family Matters meeting in April where we began talking about this decision to take out a short-term loan to build for our future. And then in June we had three meetings that we discussed it. It was very well attended. And in August it's time to vote. 2 weeks from today is our Family Matters meeting on August 25th. And it's time to just ask our church, if we can do this and move forward. I believe it's time to build the infrastructure of this room. You can see that we've kind of got some old technology, new technology, and it's time to get into the guts of this room, because you may not realize it, but this room struggles sometimes, and we have a lot of heating and cooling things that we got to fix, a stage we got to fix, and we got to get into the guts of this place. And it's going to take us a bit. So I want to ask you to consider this. I believe it's critical for the next step in building our church. And we got a lot to build around here, and God's moving in our church and in our community. And this is a critical step. So let me tell you about we're asking qualified church members to vote. Now, here's what we mean by that. Our bylaws say this, but I just want to say it out loud. A qualified church member is any church member 13 years or older who has attended anywhere that we take attendance, or they have given any amount in the last 6 months. We should all give, but if you've given any amount in the last 6 months, and you've gone through our membership process, you're part of that. Now, our next Family Matters meeting is 2 weeks from today. And we'll, at that meeting, discuss our projects and all those things, and you'll be getting some more emails this week. But let me tell you how we're going to vote on this. On Thursday, August 22nd, it's before Family Matters, qualified church members will receive an email link, and there'll be a link on it, and you can vote online starting August 22nd. And then, if you're not an email person or digital person, you can come by the office and have paper ballots. We'll have paper ballots Thursday, Friday, or you can come Sunday and do that on Sunday for paper. But the voting will stay open until the 25th at 7 p.m., and that's at our Family Matters meeting. That's when we won't vote anymore. So you have until 7 p.m. to do that. Now, I'll tell you what our ballot will say. Having prayerfully considered this decision, the finance team will secure the best financing options not to exceed $4 million for phase three of our next steps. And so that's what the ballot will say. So, you know, we've been in the book of John, and you know, even today, we are going to hear from the last sermon that Jesus preached in public a sense of urgency. And you know what? As a church, we must have a sense of urgency right here. God has prepared the way for the gospel to come into the world. And I'll tell you, we are still living at a time when the gospel is advancing. And he's called us to be a part of it. And so that's why building the church, being faithful with what God has given us, is important. Now, if you're visiting today, the normal diet of our church is that we go through a book of the Bible generally. That's the general diet of our church, because we have a high view of Scripture around here. And by that, I mean this. There are some churches that look at their newspaper and go, what does the Bible say? Not terrible, but what we do is we look at the Bible and then go, how do we understand the world? And that's an important difference. That's a vision we have. And we have a high view of Scripture around here. And so we have spent all year going through the Gospel of John. And we're in John chapter 12. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there. John chapter 12. Now, one of the messages that God is communicating through the Gospel of John is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. This is an important message that God communicates through the Gospel of John, that he's the Savior of the world. We see in John 1:29, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We see in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We see in John 4:42 that he's the Savior of the world. We see in John 6:33 that he gave his life for the world. We see in John 10:16 that there are other sheep who are included that Jesus will save in the world. And you know who those other sheep are? It's the majority of us in this room. It's non-Jews. It's Gentiles that were grafted in. We read about that in Romans, how we're grafted in and we are included because Jesus called sheep from outside of the children of Israel, and that's us. And we're grateful. Now, in John chapter 12, it's the last sermon that Jesus preached in public. And I think it's very important for us to pay attention to what Jesus is saying in his very last sermon. In fact, let's stand. We stand in honor of reading God's word. And so let's stand in honor of God's word. And what I'll say at the end of, we're just going to read two verses, but we're going to dive into to more in John 12. But I will say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you'll just join me by saying, praise be to God for his word. Let's read John 12. We're going to read 35 and 36. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, okay, this is a remarkable moment in the life of Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's impacted me that this is the last public message that Jesus preached. Now, I haven't preached in 4 weeks. Okay, so I'm kind of wound up today. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to preach. I really am. And I've thought about, what if I knew that this was the last message that I would ever preach? What would I say? Jesus knew that. He knew this was the last public message he would preach. And I think it's very important to recognize the two big things that Jesus said in his message. He emphasized two big things that I don't want us to miss today. And the first thing is this: he called everyone to believe in him. He said, "Believe in me. Believe me. Believe that I am who the prophets predicted. Believe that I'm the Messiah. Believe me." You know what the second thing he emphasized in this message? Judgment. Judgment's coming. Okay, let's think about this. Jesus knew this was the last public message he was going to preach. I think we ought to pay attention to the big things that he emphasizes. Now, let's catch some details. Look back at verse 27. And the first thing I want us to see this morning is that difficult times in life bring clarity to the mighty hand of God. And now this is important to understand as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, that it's the difficult times in life when God speaks the clearest. This is why you shouldn't just push away difficulty. Look at verse 27. Jesus says, it says this, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I've come to this hour." Notice this, that Jesus' soul was troubled. I mean, don't you think if God in the flesh has a troubled soul, that there might be times that we will have a troubled soul? Right? Aren't we to follow in his steps? Absolutely we are. And I think it's noteworthy that Jesus, his soul was troubled. Well, we understand why. He's about to go to the cross. He's come to his own, and his own didn't receive him. We saw this in John, that John 1, that I came to my own and they didn't receive me. That was a burden for Christ. And he says, my soul is troubled. And then he says, but for this purpose I've come to this hour. And look at verse 28. Father, glorify your name. Isn't that a great statement? Isn't that an important statement to follow Jesus? Lord, your will be done. Lord, I want to follow you. Father, I want to follow you. And then look at what happens. Verse 28. Then a voice from heaven came. A voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Are you kidding me? I mean, Jesus says, my soul is troubled. All of a sudden, he's about to preach this message. God the Father spoke from heaven. That struck me. I mean, goodness gracious, if I'm preaching, and what if God the Father audibly spoke from heaven? After I preach, I'd be like, if I ever heard a preacher do that, I'd be like, I'm listening to that dude. Are you kidding me? That's never happened to me. Probably won't. Hopefully he speaks by his spirit. God willing, use his word, but that's his voice, not mine. But part of me thinks, okay, people, what else do you need to believe in Jesus? These Pharisees who were so obstinate and rejecting the voice of Christ, I'm thinking to myself, what else do you need? And, I mean, here's, what else does the world need? Here's what you see in the Bible. You see all through history that God continually reveals his presence. God does this, and God the Father revealed his presence here, and not only just with God in the flesh, with Jesus, in the person of Jesus, the God the Son, but God the Father spoke from heaven. It's a fascinating moment. Look at verse 29. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. I mean, look how they rationalize this. They go, no, that wasn't God. That wasn't God's voice. It just thundered. Or think about the people that goes, oh, that was just an angel that spoke. Are you kidding me? That's worth following him right there, right? Part of me looks at these people and go, "What? Come on, knotheads, what do you need?" But before I throw them under the bus, what else do we need? Folks, God has spoken continually to the world. Look at us. We live at a time in the history of the world where we've got the Bible like literally written on pages for us. Thinking to myself, goodness, what do we need? Because, you know, let's think about what, you ought to take some time to read Psalm 19. Psalm 19, 7 through 11 talks about the value of the Word of God, what it brings to you, the peace and the confidence and the joy that God, just God's Word that's written down for us brings to you. Psalm 119, 105, His Word's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We can know God has spoken to the world. Let's just consider the days that we're in. I mean, how many people right now are watching their news and just completely freaking out because, oh my goodness, Matthew 24 is coming to pass right in front of our eyes. You ought to take some time to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. Talks about what's going to happen in the last days, that and it just gives a list that you think you just read our mail. Folks, let me tell you something. God continually reveals His presence in the world. But notice what He says. This word from God came, Jesus said, not for my sake, but for yours. Let's recognize God has spoken for our sake so we could believe in Him. So you can have confidence in what God has said, what God is doing, how God is working, how God is moving. This is true. Here's what else you see. As I think about this passage and I wrestle with this last message, that the cross keeps on defeating Satan and the Holy Spirit keeps drawing people to salvation. Look at verse 31. Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And let's recognize that the cross completely defeated Satan. It completely destroyed his power. Now, we might look at it and go, man, it seems like Satan's winning here. He's not. Because the Holy Spirit is moving, and God is keeping His word. God's keeping His promises. And He will bring this world to its appropriate end. Don't miss this. Believe in Jesus. He says, verse 32, now when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Notice this, that the salvation will continue to be, the Holy Spirit will continue to draw people as we lift up the name of Jesus. This is why I want to be a church that lifts up the name of Jesus, that points the world to Jesus. So the crowd, verse 34, so the crowd answered him, we've heard from the law that Christ remains forever. Because that's what's going to happen all through the history of the world. Christ is going to continue to move. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And you're thinking, how can you ask that? These are the Pharisees. These are the leaders of the law. They knew the prophets. They knew these things. And they're asking who the Son of Man was. So Jesus said to them, look what He says. The light is among you for a little while longer. You realize that's our world too. Right now, the light is among the world a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Now it's a fascinating. There's so much to unpack here that I don't have time to reverse engineer the whole concept and theology of salvation. But there's a call here to believe. There's a warning here about not believing. And it's amazing to me that in spite of the clear evidence of God, some of these people listening just didn't believe Him. And I don't understand why people reject the gospel. Like to me, I'm like, how can you miss it? But often people miss it. We miss it. We don't pay attention to God's movement right in front of us. Let's not forget the fact that in this very moment, God the Father spoke from heaven and they just explained it away for something else. You know, I was even wrestling with this. I liked what Matthew Henry said. Matthew Henry's an old guy that you got to get that commentary. It's a one-volume commentary. It's historic. It'd be helpful for your study, a Matthew Henry commentary. You can buy it for like $40 or so on Amazon. But Matthew Henry said, the reason why men believe not, he's an old guy, so his English is funky. But the reason why men believe not the report of the gospel is because the arm of the Lord is not revealed to them. Notice what he says. There is a righteous hand of God sometimes to be acknowledged in the blindness of those who persist in obstinate rebellion and unbelief, by which they are justly punished for their former resistance of divine light. Now, if you're in our Bible reading this week, we've read some challenging passages in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, we read a couple, maybe last week, but Romans 1, 24 and 25 talks about that God gave people over to their own way of thinking. That God will give somebody over. Okay, if you really want to hold to that, then all right, I'm going to give you over to that. We read Romans 9, the wrestling of Romans 9, that there are some instruments of wrath. But let's not forget that God came to save the world. And that often, I think that it's true that sometimes when somebody rejects the gospel in front of me, I'm not the first person that shared with them. And the people that are just, here's what I know, according to Romans 1, men are without excuse. No one's going to stand before God and have an excuse. But here's the point. I think when you hear what Jesus said and his call to believe and his warning of judgment, we need to take the warning of unbelief seriously. You should hear the warning of unbelief. You should recognize the danger of seeing God move in front of you and you push it away. You ignore it. I think Matthew Henry articulates that. God is just and right to say, okay, look, if you are going to just continually push my voice away, you're not going to like it, but there you go. Here's what we know from when I see in this text, that closing your eyes to the truth causes progressive unbelief. That if you continually say, God, I'm not going to believe you, what that's going to do in your life is cause a progressive blindness, a progressive deafness, and progressive unbelief in your life. Verse 36, when Jesus had said these things, he departed from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, for Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. That's a quote from Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 is that moment that Isaiah saw the Lord, he repented, he repented. And I'll tell you, when you look at this passage, there's a real warning about a stiff arm of the voice of God, of the work of God. You better listen to it. I better listen to it. The world ought to listen. They better listen to it. So let's not miss the quick facts here in this message. The last message Jesus preached, believe is used 8 times in this sermon. We should pay attention to that. The word believe, the call to believe, hey, believe me. 8 times it's used. And again, we should pay attention. If it's the last message he preached, he's focused. Believe him. Here's another quick fact. Resisting the light of God causes an inward change where belief will fade. If you resist the light of God, if you resist the call of God, what that's going to do is cause this inward change in your heart, where your belief in God will fade. Boy, that's dangerous ground. Third quick fact. God permits eternally devastating blindness to take over those who ignore his revelation. You ignore the revelation of God, That is absolutely dangerous. And let's not forget, in this last sermon, Jesus warned of judgment 4 separate times. So let's think about this. He called everyone to believe in him. Do you believe him? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? Do you believe what he said? Because, you know, as you look at this passage, and I think we need to pay attention to, and let's think about this with me, to the believe, trust, and obey progression. I think there's a progression here. And let's think about it. The believe, trust, obey progression. Because you know what? If you believe God, if you believe him, you're going to trust him, regardless of the circumstance. I know people that, like, we've walked through some tough stuff as a church. And people have looked at us and said, how can you believe the Lord? Let me tell you something. It's through the trials that my faith is forged. My faith is discovered through the trials, not the mountaintop, right? When you believe him, you start to trust him. Then if you trust him, you'll obey him. If you're struggling to obey the Lord, maybe you don't believe him. Maybe you don't. I think all through Scripture, you see this believe, trust, obey progression. Now, he called you to believe him. And I just want to stand in front of you and say, believe him. But that's a big part of the sermon. There's a second big part, judgment. Yesterday, Robin and I were driving back from our little anniversary thing, and she goes, what's your sermon about? And I said, well, I started talking about it. And I talked about how Jesus in his last sermon warned of judgment. And she goes, how interesting. Because doesn't the world that we live in say, oh, Jesus loves you? They talk about the love of Jesus. But they don't really talk about the times that Jesus warned of judgment. And you cannot separate that the warning of judgment is really loving. That to not warn of the judgment would not be loving. And Jesus very clearly spoke about judgment. And I'll tell you, in the last sermon that he preached, Jesus said, believe me. And he warned about judgment. And golly, I've wrestled with this. You know, a couple weeks ago, I got to go speak to one of our young adult classes. They were in the last service. And I just got some time with them 2 weeks ago, I think. And because I wasn't preaching, so I was just with them. And I said to them, I said, you know, if I could summarize the one thing I want you to remember after having me as your pastor, when I'm gone and you look back and go, you know, Chris Wall was my pastor. What's the one thing that I learned from that under-shepherd that led me? I said, I want to tell you what that is. I want to tell you what that is. The one thing I pray you learn from me in my time as your pastor, the one thing I pray you remember, you remember how important it is for us to be ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. It is as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. My prayer is that as you look back at my time with you, that you remember the call to be an ambassador for Christ. Well, Jesus very clearly said, hey, look, believe me. Judgment's coming. You know, in May, there was a young man that was baptized here. Gage Brown was baptized with his twin sister. I don't know if you were here, you may have remembered that. He and his twin sister were baptized. And Gage graduated from OU and is now in chiropractic school in Dallas. Well, I preached a wedding Monday night in Dallas. The Hursts, Clint Hurst got married to Emma Loki, and Clint's one of our boys from Owosso, and Emma, they were OBU love story. It's awesome. And so on my way home from vacation, Gage Brown called me and said, "Hey, I've got a friend of mine that I'm in chiropractic school with who doesn't know Jesus, and can you meet with us?" So we did a Google Meet meeting with this guy, and Gage is like on fire for the Lord. He's witnessing to everybody with a pulse. I mean, the guy is like just on fire. And so we do a Google Meet meeting, and this dude is competed in the Beijing Olympics for snowboarding for Uganda. Yeah, go figure that out. I couldn't either. But we meet by Google Meet. I share the gospel with them. And they said, "Hey," I said, "Hey, I'm going to be in Dallas last Monday. Let's meet for breakfast. That'd be awesome." So we met for breakfast on Monday. Before I went to breakfast, Gage said, "Hey, I got another friend that graduated from the University of Arkansas, and he's interested too. Can he come?" "Sure, man, bring him." So we meet for breakfast Monday, last Monday. And at this Starlight something or other breakfast place in Dallas, and I just looked at these guys and said, "Here's why I believe in Jesus. Here's why I believe in him." Shared the gospel with both of them. I mean, Brolin was thinking about it. I'd give him some books, and we'd already had an hour and a half meeting. And then this guy, then he was there again. So I share the gospel, look at both of Mark and Brolin, and said, "Hey, are you ready to follow Jesus? Hey, this is the gospel. This is why it makes sense to believe in Jesus." And Brolin's still wrestling. Mark goes, "Yeah, I want to do that right now." Right there at that breakfast place, Mark comes to Christ. It's awesome. You know, here's the thing. Jesus, in John 12, is saying, "Believe." And many are not, but not all. Look at verse 41. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. "Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But notice this, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." Now, most of us think, "Oh, well, pansies, what's up with them? Hey, God's working. Let's be grateful for how God works, even when we don't see it all the time." But what we know from this text continues today that you know what? God keeps showing up in person to give us the gift of belief. What's happening right here, Jesus has showed up in the world in person. And he was giving the gift of belief. You know, God's still doing that right now. I saw it on Monday. And let me tell you something. God is continuing to show up on people in Owosso. This is why I'm pretty motivated to make room for people and build a church and to be a part of getting 100 more seats in this room and fixing this place up, being faithful with what God's given us. And look at verse 44. "And Jesus cried out, 'Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I've come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have spoken on my own authority. I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what I say and what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal. What I say, therefore I say as the Father told me." See, God's at work here. God's helping give the gift of belief. And let me tell you something, God's still giving that gift. He's still issuing that warning. So what do we believe? Well, as we kind of wrap up today, it's like what I said to Mark and Brolin on Monday, that the cross is the only hope, both for this life and the next. Believe it, folks. We teach them the cross is the only hope for this life, for the next life. Believe it. You know, we kind of have the benefit of knowing the rest of the story. Isn't that Paul Harvey, right? Paul Harvey guy says the rest of the story. Well, we know the rest of the story. Some of it. At least for these guys. Who's listening? These Pharisees. Some believed, but some were afraid. But we're going to come, we're going to rub shoulders with John 19:38, when both Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, John 19:38, and after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took away the body. That was the moment that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus said, look, I'm a follower of Jesus. So you see God working and God continuing to bring these people going, look, I'm going to follow him. You know, when it comes to these Pharisees and these leaders, we also know Acts 6:7. As Acts begins to talk about the church, Acts 6:7 says this, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You see these priests going, look, it's right. It took them a minute. It took them some time. They had to wrestle. They had to think. But they came to faith. You also see this again in Acts 15, back in that moment when the Pharisees are struggling with the conflict in the church. And they were wrong in Acts 15, verse 5, when it says, but some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it's necessary to circumcise them in order to keep the law of Moses. And I'm thankful that they lost this little vote here in this battle, because here was the deal. The Pharisees were like, hey, they were wrestling with Gentiles coming to faith. But look, they were believers. Boy, I thank the Lord that God is continuing to give this gift of belief. But here's the thing. It's only Jesus that you have hope in this life and the next. Believe it. And I'll tell you what, if you believe it, you'll trust it. You'll trust it when you get that cancer call or that tragedy in your life, in this life. You'll trust it when you face ultimate questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Jesus offers the only hope in this life. Also, he's the only hope in the next. And folks, the Bible's crystal clear. There will be a next life. Believe it. You know what else you need to believe? And I pray we believe is that God is speaking to the world right now. Believe it. That's why we're called to be a church. That's why we didn't get saved and immediately go to heaven. God is speaking to the world right now. He has given us his word for a reason. And this is why we as a church take the God's word very seriously, because we understand Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the vision of soul, of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is why we have a high view of Scripture, and this is why we are rabid about knowing the word of God and engaging and putting God's word into practice. Look, God's speaking to people in the world right now. Believe it. And here's another thing. As you look at this last message that Jesus preached, the light of salvation is shining for a little while longer. Folks, believe it. This is why I'm confident with the gospel. This is why when Gage called me, will you meet with Brolin? I'll stink and drive to Dallas to share the gospel. I'm not the only believer. I've connected him to believers in Dallas. But boy, sign me up to drive to go share the gospel with somebody. look, we need to be more bold with the gospel. It was a little bit of my frustration with, I didn't like the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Closing ceremonies today, I don't think I'm going to watch it. Probably not even going to watch it. But you know, though, that was stupid. That opening ceremony, that was just dumb. But you know what? You know what I was grateful for? I'm grateful that our church, our student ministry, is adopting France to go share the gospel in France. To me, I'm like, cool. Let's go do something about that rather than just bark on Twitter. I quit looking at Twitter because it drives me nuts. But let's not forget that the light of salvation is shining for a little while longer. Believe it, folks. Believe it. And if you believe it, you'll trust it. If you trust it, you'll obediently share the gospel. That progression is all over this. Don't miss verse 35. Joe, come on up. Verse 35. Jesus said to them, light is among you for a little while longer. I can't think of a better challenge and an invitation right now than for us to recognize that light is among us for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe the light. Believe it. That you may become sons of light. You know, we're going to have an invitation. You don't have to struggle with belief. You can trust him. God has clearly spoken to the world. God continues to speak clearly to the world. Believe it. Hey, the warning of judgment in Scripture moves me to urgency. And though I did get a little rest in the last several weeks, boy, I'll tell you what, I came off of that rest with some fire in my belly. And a call to be faithful with the gospel right where we live. This week, I want you to wrestle with a question. How long has it been since you looked at somebody in your life, whether it's in your family, whether it's where you live, neighbor, whether it's where you play, maybe someone at the gym or someone that you in your hobby that you like to do. Maybe someone that you work with that you know is they don't know the Lord, and you know that you're in their life and you've got their ear. Maybe it's somebody where you shop, that coffee shop, or that just being a witness to somebody around you. Hey, it's time to speak up and be a witness, be an ambassador for Christ. I want to challenge you this week that you would share the gospel with somebody in your life this week. That you would believe what Jesus has said, that you would trust him, which will lead to obeying him. So right now, I want you to just, Joe's going to lead a song, and you know, we'll have some people around the room. If you're on our prayer team, I just want you to go around the room. Maybe you just need somebody to pray for you. We're going to get more focused on that, of just having people praying. And Smokey, I want you to come up. And would you do that? Just be available to pray for somebody. Eli, where are you? I think I saw you. Why don't you come on up? Bring your wife. Is she with you? Yeah, come on, come on. Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. Joan, you're back there. Thank you. Joan's back there at the back. Maybe you just need somebody to pray for you. Andy and Liz, would y'all go over there on that side? Maybe you just need somebody to pray for you. Look, maybe it's be a witness. Maybe you need to come to Jesus. Obey the Lord today. But as Joe sings, what I want you to do is just bow your head. And if you're a believer today, ask the Lord. School starts this week for many. Lord, use me to speak up about you. And then ask God to put somebody on your heart, a face on your mind. And then when you're ready, stand and sing. But Joe's going to lead us. Lord Jesus, would you speak now? Move us now. Thank you that you are still opening our eyes and hearts and minds. And Lord, we trust you with all that. Thank you for your word. And thank you for this last public message that you preached. Thank you for giving us a record of it. In Jesus' name we pray, move us now. Amen.